WMCHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness, Mikhail Mir's financial consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Wow, we are at the last Friday of the month. And assuming that you're hearing this show, because we did have to record it earlier, assuming that you're hearing this show, we are still here. Yay! And so I have Thomas Campbell with me today, who is our quantum physicist and brings in consciousness through, you know, he brings it in through possibly a different way, yet we always come to the same point, which is always about love. And so I always enjoy and love having Tom on the show. Tom has a wealth of information for everybody. You have to Google his name, Tom Campbell or Thomas Campbell. You can go to his YouTube. You can go to his website, which he named from the trilogy of books he did called My Big Toe. So it's my-big-toe.com. And you can get just a wealth of knowledge on there. Plus, he has a forum, and you can get to the forum from his webpage. Tom, it's always a pleasure. Welcome.
Thank you, Lori. It's always fun for me to be here. We always have a good time.
We do. So we thought, you know, as long as everybody gets to hear this show, that we've therefore made it past the 2112 disaster, and we are still here. And so then we thought we'd do a show on, okay, so now what? Now that everybody had been focusing all of their energy and possibly concern and worry, and we're here, we're past 2112, and we're still survived, you know, what do we do now?
Well, I hope everyone wasn't focusing their energy on that nonsense, but in any case, here we are, and I guess we just need to get on with it, huh?
Yes.
With what we're doing, and what we should be doing, of course, is, you know, growing up, becoming love, all those things that we talk about every Friday. That's that's still on our calendar for the number one thing to do. So now that you didn't get a free pass, 21 December 2012 came and went, no free pass, you're still here, you still have the same level of understanding, same quality of consciousness you had yesterday, or I guess last week. So now what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
I guess is the question. Well, I guess we get on with it because we didn't get a free pass. The rapture didn't come. We're all alive and well, but no further ahead than we were last week. So
yes, and the calendar's still ticking. The Mayan calendar may have ended, but our calendar is still ticking.
Yes, indeed.
I think it's amazing that and I know that a lot of people focus on the fear aspect, but there were also a lot of positive things that a lot of people hoped would happen with 2012, which is moving into, you know, either a different dimension or, you know, bringing our, just gateways opening. And I know that we're doing a lot of work, and I know that a lot of people are focused on evolving their spirit and growing, and at least mentally, that's a lot of people are doing, and we're really trying to move into that focus of transformation and change. And I guess, you know, now that we're here, now that we've passed maybe these openings and these portals, and we've had this energy to assist us, how do we use that to advantage? How do we take these moments of, instead of focusing on the fear and moving into that place of openness and joy, how do we, and using the energy of this time, because this is a, you know, a very magical time where there's a lot of energy around giving and generosity and openness, you know, using that to help us grow.
And also, it's a bit of a magical time in the sense that we tend to settle down and focus when we get close to the new year, you know, with the New Year's resolutions and what am I going to accomplish in this coming year? And how am I going to do better in this coming year than I did last year? You know, that sort of thing. So it is a good time of year for refocusing. Of course, we have the Christmas has just passed. And I'm assuming Christmas has just passed since this is really the 10th of December where we're recording this. But, so Christmas has just passed, and that sometimes is a big letdown for people. Finally, the crowds kind of subside, and we're left by ourselves, you know, kind of to ourselves to reconsider what we're doing. One of the excuse me, I still have a little residual cough coming here. I hope your audience will excuse my coughs every once in a while. But we have to realize that there is no free lunch in this spiritual growth game. We have to earn our quality of consciousness. It's not just going to happen to us. And we have to realize that we are responsible entirely for our growth. And it has to be from the inside out. We have to change at the being level, inside. It's not a matter of the right training course or the right book or the right radio show. It's a matter of us deciding and making a commitment that we're going to actually change ourselves. We're going to change something. And we don't change it by thinking about it. We don't change it by talking about it. And we don't change it just by reading. It's a real personal commitment to, I want to do better. You know, I want to get rid of some of this fear, some of this ego, my attachment to things. I want to let that go. I want to live a life more in joy and in love than in fear and in, you know, expectation. Just if we just get to that point where we decide, okay, I need to do this. I need to do it myself. Nobody else can do it but me, for me. And there's no place, you know, better to start than now. And just that commitment is probably about 50% of the whole process. Just to get to that commitment rather than, oh, I'd like to do better, so I'll read this book or I'll read that book. That's just putting it off. That's just hoping that somebody else will give you a prescription and somehow magically you will grow up and kind of see things more clearly. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. It's something you have to do to change yourself at a fundamental level, which I call the being level. So that's kind of the first thing. Here we are. We've made it past, you know, December 21st, 2012. We're getting close to New Year's Day. Now, what are we going to do from here on? You know, this is right, like today's the first day of the rest of your life, right? It's that kind of an attitude. Mm. So what's next? Are we really going to take it seriously this year, this coming year, or are we just going to continue to plod on through it, you know, waiting for a miracle to happen? That's... That, I hope, would be a good question or kind of a good theme for this time of year.
Perfect. Perfect. I mean, I think that is part of the dilemma that a lot of us have, especially if we read a lot of the things that were supposed to happen at 2012 or December 21st, that we do get kind of caught up in wanting somebody else to do the work for us, or, you know, we do get excited when we read a book or we listen to a radio show and we get all enthusiastic and then hope that somebody else is going to do it for us because we, you know, we don't know how to do it for ourselves, or we get lazy, or we, you know, we just focus mentally on what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's like this. Look at your life. And if you don't like the life you're living, or if you think you should improve it somehow, that it could use some improvement, then you have to change something.
Yeah.
You have to change something, you see. You just can't say, well, I don't like it, and I think I should improve it some. But, you know, if you're not willing to take that step and say, well, if I want it to change, I'm going to have to change something. I'm going to have to make something different.
Right. From a mental perspective or doing something to change, it has to come from the being level.
Yeah. That's it. We have to. So that's the first step, is just to realize that you have to change yourself. And once you realize that you have to change yourself, then the next thing is to, you know, get to work. Don't just talk about it, but what can you do to change yourself? Well, the first thing you can do is start living in the now. Look at, you know, just kind of be aware of what you're doing and what you're saying and how you're interacting and how you're feeling and what your emotions are. And if you can just be aware of that, then start looking for the things that don't feel good, for the things that are negative. Okay, look for that. And if you feel a little negative feeling coming on, a little fear, a little aggravation, a little upset, a little things aren't the way you like it, maybe a little anger, you don't feel so good about yourself or how you've been doing, you see these little negative things, then realize that those things are there because of your fear. And look for the fear then. Say, okay, well, what fear is it that's driving this emotion of mine, this negativity? Where's the fear? What is it I'm afraid of? What is it that I don't want to happen and I'm afraid might happen? And once you find the fear, then you just have to stand up to that fear and get over it. Say, that fear is pushing me around. It's making me feel all of these negative things. It's making my life something other than joy, peace, and love. So you have to deal with that. And how do you, you know, that's easy to say, hard to do, right? Deal with it. But again, the best antidote to fear is courage. So you just have to look at it and say, I'm not going to let that push me around anymore. And then keep looking at yourself. And when you find yourself with that little bit of aggravation or upset or disappointment, then say, I'm not going there. You know, get over it. Let that go. And just keep working on it. Now, I know the first 100 times you do it, it will seem like nothing's really happening and you're just, you know, spinning your wheels. But if you have the intent to get over that fear and you really want to do it and you make that effort to stop yourself when you catch yourself doing those things, it will change. It will go away and the fear will reside and you'll get over it and your life will improve. You just have to keep at it. Don't have a short-term attitude that if it doesn't work for me, it's not, you know, if I'm not healed in the next week, then it didn't work. It's not like that. It has to be, if I'm not healed in the next year, you know, then maybe I should try something different. But Okay. Take the long view.
Perfect. We're going to go to our first break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Thomas Campbell and Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Did we talk? break my heart. I'll be the one to hold the gun. I love her more.
The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today we have Thomas Campbell with us. And Tom can be found on the internet at mybigtoe.com, hyphens in between. So my hyphen, big hyphen. toe.com, and you can Google his name and find lots of information. You can even find his three books on Google Books that you can download. But if you'd like them in person, you can find them on his website. You can find them on Amazon. Tom, right before the break, we were sort of talking about, okay, so we're here. We're going to make a commitment. We're going to look at the places in our lives that aren't working. We're not going to do it a short-term fix. We're going to ask for it, you know, over a long term so that we can give ourselves time not to go into a healing crisis, as well as give us time so that we're giving us enough time to actually do the work and have the courage. Mm-hmm. What other guidance do you have for people? So everybody at this time of year is thinking of doing their New Year's resolutions. So what would be an ideal New Year's resolution list for people that are trying to work on some of their fears?
Well, first of all, let's say we don't want a to-do list so
yes.
much as we want a to-be list, you know. How would you like to be? How would you like to be different? That would be the first thing. Think about how you are, your strong points, weak points, those things that you'd like to change, and come up with an idea of how you would like to be differently. And then a program on how you're going to change yourself, how you're going to make yourself be differently, and realize that you have to change it, that nobody else can change you, and the way you are isn't because of anybody else. It's not like, well, the only reason I'm like this is that, you know, my mother this, or my children that, or, you know, my spouse is this way. That's not the case. You know, you cannot put the blame for the way you are on anyone except yourself. So come to the realization that you have to make the change, that you are your own problem. You know, you're not the way you are for any other reason than that's the way you are, and you need to change that if you're not happy with it. So that's the first start. And rather than a list of things to go do, make a list of things to be. How would you like to be? You know, would you like to be happier? Would you like to be less negative? Would you like to be less frightened? And then try to, you know, to plan how to accomplish that. And we just talked about the last segment a little bit, how to accomplish that. You know, look at your unpleasant moments find the fear and then try to overcome the fear with courage. And the important thing is to just keep doing it. Keep working at it, because it doesn't happen. These breakthroughs don't happen in big leaps. They happen in a whole lot of tiny little steps. So you won't, you won't necessarily see the progress until you look back. Work at it for, you know, 2 or 3, 4, 5 months, and then look back and see, how have I changed? How am I different? And if you're not different, then you need to change your process. So it's a trial and error sort of thing that you have to do kind of regularly all the time. Make it your kind of your life's work, if you will. Have your mind focused on it, not just every other, you know, Friday, but have your life focused on it all the time. Like, this is the thing I want to do. I want to be differently in these ways, and just do it. You know, that's the thing. And take the long view. Don't expect to, you know, don't look at it a week later and say, am I healed yet? You know, am I done? And why not? Well, obviously, if I'm not, then it doesn't work, so I can quit that. You know, that's not it. You have to not quit. You have to just keep after it. And then you will see that in time, you will change, and it will affect your life, and you will make this progress. You just have to have an intent to do it and enough gumption to keep at it, and it will happen for you.
I think one of the ways to sort of keep yourself focused is to find whatever works for you that gets you into that quiet place, like whatever works for you that gets you open and listening or hearing, you know, guidance, things that your intuition can tell you, ways to, you know, a lot of people use meditation, which is not necessary, but you still have to find some way. Some people, you know, listen to music, and that allows them to quiet their mind and to get into that space. But I think a lot of people need to find some way to get into a space where they're not, that chatter's not there, so that they can quiet themselves down enough so that they can make some of these changes, and they can make a routine of it so that they can check in with themselves periodically or as often as possible.
Yes, I think it needs to be a constant and continuous pressure that you put on yourself to do better. If it's something that you just, you know, if it's an intellectual process, if you intellectually say, oh, I'd like to do better, I'd like to, you know, raise the quality of my consciousness, I'd like to be, you know, happier and all this sort of thing. But it's all intellect. You're not really committed to it because it's scary, because you have to change. And change has this scary component because you're not exactly sure how that change will turn out and how it will affect everything. So people are a little shy of actually making real change. They're not shy at all about talking about the changes they'd like to make. But the actual making of change requires real commitment. And it isn't something that can be done from the intellect. You can't talk yourself into change. You have to be yourself into change. So just, first of all, just be you. Have the courage just to be the way you are. That might be a good step. Instead of trying to be the way, you know, you think you ought to be, or the way other people would like you to be, or the way you should be, just be you. Be honest and just be how you are. And then take a good look at how you are, because sometimes we get confused between who we really are and the roles we play. Stop playing the role. Be the role, you know, be it. Don't play at it. Don't work at this from your intellect. And then once you see how you are, then it's maybe easier to make changes. But it has to be something that you're committed to, not just something that you say to yourself because it makes you feel better. Oh, yes, I'm working on a plan to improve myself, la-di-da-di-da, but you're not really. You're just saying that because that makes you feel better, because you think you should be working on a plan. There's a difference between having an intellectual sense of wanting to change and actually doing it, being it, you know, living the change. Look for those things that you don't like the way you are, and then, you know, bring yourself up short on those. Make yourself think about it. Why did I do that? And then go find the source. change it, work on it. It's not an easy thing to do, and it can be a scary thing to do. So many of us, I think, more are at the intellectual level working on these things, and nothing really ever happens. It's not until you let go of the intellect, get down to a level of, this is me at the core, I'll face that, and then I'll deal with it. I think that's the commitment that most people really are afraid to make, because change is a scary thing. What if I don't like the change? What if other people in my life don't like the change? What if it, you know, and you just have to have the courage to say, I'm going to improve. I'll let the chips fall where they may and deal with it. You see, that's why we're here in this world. It's stuff happens, we deal with it. So you need to kind of have the courage to do that rather than stuff happens and I'm going to try to make sure that stuff happens the way I want it to happen, you know. I'm going to manipulate, you know, those around me and myself to make sure that I minimize pain and things happen the way I want, rather than just say, stuff happens, I accept that, and I deal with it. That takes courage, and that's the first step, I guess, kind of courage that you have to have. Otherwise, you'll just spin your wheels and remain kind of the same, because you're not really that serious about changing who you are, because it's kind of scary.
Yeah. And I mean, we're always, if we're doing, then typically we're doing it from a place of trying to manipulate and control our situation, because we're wanting something different, but we're not, we're trying to do it from an action place instead of a being place. And that's definitely where we get stuck.
And if you're trying to manipulate yourself, it's the same thing.
Right.
You see, if from an intellectual point, you'll say, oh, well, I need to do this better, so I'm going to read these books, and I'm going to take that course, and I'm going to learn all about such and such, and then I'll be better. That's just you trying to manipulate yourself from an intellectual place. And generally, that doesn't work. You have to be more honest with yourself than that, and stop living only through your intellect. Don't just live out of your head, but take a real assessment of who am I, why am I, what are my intents, what makes me do and act and feel the way I feel. Get to the root of it, because that's the only place where the solution lies, is at the root of it, not at the intellectual thinking about it. We want to manipulate our world, our life, our other people in our lives, our bosses, you know, our spouses. We want to manipulate our children, everybody, to be the way we know that they should be, the way we want them. And that's not productive. We even want to manipulate ourselves to be the person that we know that we should be. That's not productive either. Just be honest, be straightforward, be who you are, and then you'll have a chance of actually changing something.
In other words, you
scared
are loved.
Me, right? Me,
well,
just being,
dogs don't have just one
was,
way into our hearts,
me, you know?
So why give them just
scary,
one boring take?
I won't go there because I can't lose if I don't play, you know, this sort of thing, and that's not true. You always lose if you don't play, because not winning is losing in this game.
Yeah. And we are afraid to be ourselves. I mean, that's why we've created all these masks and we've done all these things to forget who we are, so that we don't have to look at it and we don't have to face our fears. And, you know, we can pretend that everybody likes us, and we try to be the person that we think everybody will like. And then the game just continues.
That's right. And it just keeps going around and around. It's like a little puppy chasing its tail. You know, you just don't seem to, you keep trying and trying, but you just never seem to be able to get that tail. You know, it just somehow keeps slipping out from in front of you. And people kind of have that sense that, you know, gee, the last year was just like the one before that. And even though I, you know, have all these great plans, that I don't seem to really be changing very much. It's the same old thing. And people get in a kind of a funk sometimes this time of year too, when they take assessment and they look at where they've been and where they're going and realize that not much is changing. It's the same old sort of thing with the same old problems. Well, if that describes you, then you just need to be, just have the courage to just be whoever you are, however you are, say it the way you feel it and the way you think it, and then deal with that And if what happens is that you're somebody who's not very pleasant, well, then it'll come right out that that's the case. You won't be hiding that, and then you can deal with it. If it turns out that you're really a very lovable and wonderful person, that will come out too. But you'll never know that if you're completely hiding, or if you're always hiding in fear that maybe that's not true. You see? So you just don't know. So just let it be.
All right. We're going to go to where
you are.
We're going to go to our next break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Thomas Campbell. He is found on the web at mybigtoe.com, hyphens in between, so my-big-toe.com. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
New Sky Radio, newskyradio.com, and Psychic Radio, psychiconair.com, powered by CBS Radio, AOL, and Yahoo, is unlike any talk radio station, with a mission to improve the world one listener at a time. This is where you can be the star of your own show. Our listeners are truly unique, truly interactive, and passionate about their world. The Sky and Psychic Radio listeners genuinely care about the environment, social justice, their personal health, and raising people up to live their best life every day. Our motto is New Horizons, No Boundaries. New Age views, life coaching, psychic analysis, alternative medicine, and cutting-edge mind, body, and spirit shows can all be found on The Sky and Psychic Radio. Perhaps you have what it takes to join our broadcast family, an open mind, a great idea, and a passion for enriching lives. Check out all the exciting details by clicking the microphone on our homepage at newskyradio.com or give Lisa Rodman a call at 248-546-9600 to learn just how affordable it can be to host a show.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Thomas Campbell here today. Tom can be found on the web everywhere. Please Google his name. Find out he's got days and days worth of videos on YouTube, and you can find out more about how he links science and spirituality together. We don't talk a lot about the science aspect on our show, but he does in a great detail. So do check out his information. He can be found on the web at mybigtoe.com, hyphens in between, so my-big-toe.com. And so we've been talking about, okay, so now we're still here, and now we're getting close to the end of the year, and we're thinking about our New Year's resolutions, and we've talked about how we shouldn't make a list of things that we're doing, but we're always, as we go to the end of the year, we're thinking about, you know, main things. A lot of times people are looking at weight loss and their health. They're looking at their career. They're looking at their relationships. Let's talk about relationships, because that seems to be one of those areas. Let's look at how we do not mentalize and intellectualize our relationships, but how to come from a more being place.
Okay, that's a good topic. You know, relationships, of course, come in all kinds, and they all basically have the same dynamic, and that is, if the relationship is based on need, then it has problems because needs change. And most of us, when we fall in love, we're not really falling in love, we're falling in need. You see, we have, when we're looking for that significant other, we're usually looking for somebody that meets our needs. And that's a problem, because if two people fall in need, it's sort of a contract. You know, you fulfill my needs, I'll fulfill your needs. And that eventually doesn't work so well because, as I say, needs change. People change, situations change, and that kind of gets, you know, contracts kind of get stale. You know, it's not the, you know, it's not the, what is it, the bells ringing and the lights flashing and the thing that we imagine that love is, you know, the wow, over-the-top, wonderful state of being in love. You know, that tends to fade into a contract of need meeting. So what can we do about that if we get kind of stuck in that rut of same old relationship and you know, need meeting thing? Well, about the only thing you can do, again, you have to realize that the only person you can change is you. And it only takes one to love. You know, it takes two to have a contract, but it takes one to love. Love is about giving. It's not about what you get. It's not about getting your needs met. It's about meeting other people's needs. It's about giving to them. So if you just unilaterally, even if your partner really kind of likes things just the way it is, but you would like to make the relationship more love-based than need-based, you on your own unilaterally can make a big change just by deciding that it's not going to be about you. Now, what you're deciding when you decide that is to let the ego go, let the fear go. Let the ego and fear go to the point that you can just think of the other person. What can you do? How can you be to make that other person happy, to make them feel secure, to make them feel special? And then just do it. And what you'll find out is that two things will happen. One, it'll be a lot of fun. You'll find that making other people happy makes you happy. You enjoy that, the fact that you can make other people happy. That's a fun and a rewarding thing all by itself. The second thing that happens is that when you do that for someone, you give them a very secure place to be. Because if you are focused on them and making them happy, they feel very secure now in that relationship, very good with it. And what does that do for them? Well, it enables them to then change themselves. Because rather being in a kind of a hunkered down position, you know, here are my needs, there are your needs, you need to do this. And that kind of an attitude of, am I getting all that I should get for what I'm giving? That's just ego. But when you're getting all that you could possibly want, then you start thinking about other things, and you can then think a little bit about, well, what am I giving? What am I doing? What's my part in this relationship? You know, it seems to be kind of one-sided. I better wake up here and get on the ball. Otherwise, this isn't going to last forever. So it actually gives your partner a secure place from which to grow. So it works two ways. You get to drop ego and drop fear and be love and give. And you can't just act it now. You have to be able to do it. You have to be able to actually do that from the heart. If it's just acting, if you say, well, I'm going to act like, you know, I'm coming from love and I'm going to act this way and give this, you know, make this, I'm going to act like this person is very important and is very special, but you don't actually think they are, you see, that's not going to work. You really have to change. Get rid of the fear, get rid of the ego, have the courage to just take a leap here, a leap of faith, and treat your significant other like they were very, very special. Interact with them with love rather than with need. Let your own needs go. I'll deal with those needs. If they get met or they don't get met, I'll deal with it. No problem. Just take your needs off the, you know, off the screen. Not of no interest anymore. You'll just give. And try that out. I know that's kind of a radical thing to do. And in most relationships, they're going to say, well, I'm not going to do that unless they do that too, you see. That's because you're not thinking in terms of love. You're thinking in terms of a contract. And you want to make sure you get yours before you give anybody any, you know, anything. And all of that is very self-destructive. It's very destructive of the relationship. Relationships based on contracts, personal relationships based on contracts, don't work out very well. They're always no more than just getting along. But relationships based on love are wonderful, are full of joy and full of happiness. So just unilaterally, you can just do that and make that change and see what happens. You see, a lot of this is trial and error. Just go do something, be something, and see where what happens. See where that takes you. Learn from it. Then do better. Be more. See what happens. You see, if things don't work out too well, then say, well, maybe that wasn't a good experiment. Try something else, but don't just give up and say, oh, nothing works for me. You know, woe is me. That's just ego, wallowing around in self-pity. Don't end up there. That's the state most people live in, is need-based relationships, and they are constantly unhappy because their needs aren't being met. And both people in the relationship feel that way. And neither are willing to, actually make a change at the being level to be any different. So if you don't make a change, then the same old thing just keeps happening.
It's definitely a way of thinking that most people, I mean, if you've been listening to our shows, we've talked about it before, but it is definitely an area that a lot of people would have difficulty with. and it's not, we don't need to just look at it as our romantic relationships. We can look at it as all relationships.
Exactly. All of them work the same way. You know, the romantic relationships aren't, you know, I mean, they're different in that the way that you express the relationship is different. But your relationship with your boss is the same way. Instead of looking at your boss as this person you're trying to manipulate to do and think the way you want them to do and think, rather than what can I do for them? What can I give them? You know, how can I make them more successful? Can make them, pleased? That sort of thing, then it just changes things. If you think about others, whether it's your boss or it's your wife or your husband, you'll see that your life will get better. And most people are afraid to do that. They'll say, oh, if I do that, I'll just get abused. You know, if I just try to help somebody and give, people will just take and take and take. And, well, what about me? You see, and it all gets back to this. Well, what about me? You see, it's the ego and the fear. The fear of I won't get what I need. That fear, so you have to get out of this ego fear thing. But now, you know, I can give some pointers. I don't know how much time I've got here, but like if you're in a romantic relationship and you're a guy, here's some pointers of what to do. Any problem that there is between you and your lady, good or bad, for whatever the reason is, you know, clever or silly, whatever it is, understand that it's your problem to solve, not hers. Okay? You need to change yourself to make her happy. If there's a serious argument or disagreement, then, guys, you're wrong. Period. Okay? She's right. Okay? It's your job to make her happy. You know, you have to do that, not by trying to change her mind or her perception or her wants and wishes. Simply figure out how to be and act and feel the way that will make her feel as good as possible, as special as possible. And it has to be sincere. You see? And ladies, what would you do? Just be honest. Just tell him the way you really feel and what you want and what you need. You see? Those would be ways to, you know, to approach this. It's actually better in a romantic relationship if the guy leads, if he's the one that says, you're always right, and I will do whatever it takes to make you happy, and then let her just do whatever comes natural. That works best. So that's the way to make a relationship, a romantic relationship, a really good one.
Okay, we're going to go to break, but that's an interesting place to leave it at. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tom Campbell and Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul. Every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura and Kira, Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lear, PSI 911 with Katie, Rhonda, and Christy, Life by Number with Celeste, and Your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually Speaking Radio for the soul. CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Thank you.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. Tom is with us every last Friday of the month. Our next show will be January 25th. Awesome. And Tom can be found on the web everywhere. Do Google his name. Find out more information. As I said, there's hours and days of video on YouTube. We've been talking about, I guess, relationships as our New Year's resolution and how to be differently. We ended it off with Tom giving a very interesting realization about how men and women work best. Do you want to expand on that? You started explaining a little bit on it at break.
Yes. I'd be glad to.
Okay.
All right. Given that most couples are in a need-based relationship, I'll meet your needs, you meet my needs kind of contract, then somebody, if you want to change that and get to a love-based relationship, then somebody needs to break that cycle, right? And the best way to break that cycle is for the men to take the lead, the responsibility to just change that cycle, not to, to let their needs go, to forget about their needs. And as I said earlier, if there's any problem between the two of them, then it's his problem to solve, period, not her problem to solve. And the way he solves it is by changing himself, not by trying to change her or tell her why it is that her, what she wants is not reasonable. Okay, he just needs to fix it by giving her something that makes her happy, makes her feel special. If there's an argument or disagreement, guys, you're wrong. Make your woman happy. Do whatever it takes. Okay, now people might think that's one-sided, and why shouldn't the girls do that? Well, this is designed because of the way men and women are. Okay, men can do that more readily. The concept of kind of giving yourself up to something larger, that's a guy thing to do. It's the guys who go off and die for their country, right? It's the guys, most guys would willingly give their life to protect their women and their children. It's just the way guys are. They tend to think in that big term sense because their world, they use their intellect and their world to deal with the outside world. Okay, guys live and work in the outside world. They use their intellect in the outside world, and they can make those kinds of decisions. Women work in the inside world. Their world is the world of relationship. They use their intellect in the world of relationship. They think through relationships. They know what they're doing in relationships. They do things on purpose and for reasons in relationships. And the outside world, to them, they work at that more intuitively and kind of more emotionally. Okay, the guys use their intellect for the outside world and manipulating the outside world, and they work at relationships more intuitively and more emotionally. You see, so from a guy's perspective, because in his realm where he works, that's the realm where the ladies are being intuitive and more emotional. So they think, oh, women, they're emotional, they're not rational, that's the way women are. Whereas for a woman, from her perspective, where she's doing relationships with her intellect, you see, the guys seem like they're kind of bumbling around in relationships. They never seem to know what to do. That's because the guys are working at the relationship from the emotional and intuitive level. They're not thinking through it. They don't use their intellect in relationship. They use their intellect in dealing with the outside world. So in this way, the guy can approach this problem and say, well, I can see this is a good thing to do. I can base my relationship on love. I just give my woman whatever it is it takes to make her happy, period. If she wants me to repaint the bedroom, and I think, oh, well, that doesn't really need to be done, and that's a lot of work, and it was just done 2 years ago. No. If she wants the bedroom repainted, you say, of course, dear. What color would you like? You see? And then you and her do it together, and it'll be wonderful. So That's the idea. So the men can take that step and lead the process. And because the women use their intellect to work in the relationship world, when the men treat them that way, they will very quickly begin to think, well, what should I be doing? You know, I get all, you know, I'm put up on this pedestal. Everything I want and need, my man tries to get for me and put it the way I want it. I need to be such that I deserve that, you see, because she uses her intellect in relationships. She'll come to that conclusion. Where if it worked the other way, the man would say, gee, my wife's giving me everything I want the way I want it. Wow, this is great. Don't try to break anything. You know, don't try to fix anything that's not broken. I'll just suck this up and soak it up, and it'll be wonderful. Why should I want to change anything, you see? So the man is not so likely, if the woman leads, the man is not so likely to grow into it, to do his part. And it's much more difficult for the woman to lead this because that's just not the way she's made. So it takes the strengths of both male and female to suit this process. So men, just make your women happy, whatever it takes, whatever they want, however they want it. You just do it, and you don't question it, and you don't say, well, that doesn't make sense. You know, the bedroom was just painted 2 years ago. You know, that's not the point. You just do it. Of course, dear, whatever you'd like, wherever you'd like to go, however you'd like to have it, I'm here to make your life as perfect as it can be made. And if he approaches his woman that way, then his life will get much better too, because that will give her the security. She knows that she is taken care of in every way, that she is loved, that she is special, and that will give her the security that she needs to grow the way that she needs to grow, you see? So the man has to lead it, the lady will do her part, and everybody lives happily ever after. The reason it works is that you have to break this cycle of need-based relationship. If it's all about you, if it's two egos struggling with each other to get their needs met and to get things manipulated to the way they want it, it just can't get but so good. That goes everywhere from terrible and disastrous to just getting by. But it never gets much better than just getting by. So if you want a relationship that is much better than just getting by, then it has to be love-based, not need-based. And the best way to do that is with the guy to take the initiative, that it just will be love-based. Because he loves his woman, he'll do anything she wants, any way she wants it. She'll be however it is that makes her happy. And the woman will then have the security to change herself, and the both of them will be that way. She will then start being and doing anything he wants to make him happy. You see, and if you have two people that are focused on each other trying to do nothing other than make each other happy, guess what you get? You get a fantastic relationship where everybody is just, you know, kind of peaked out at how great this relationship is all the time, because it's love-based, not need-based. And that's the way you go about it, guys and girls. You know, that's the prescription. But it's not an easy thing necessarily to get your guy to do this. But if he understands that if he does this, what he gets back from that will be so much more than what he gives. And the same with the lady. If they do this, they'll get so much more back than what you have to give. It just feeds on itself in a positive feedback loop that gets better and better.
Wow. Well, I could definitely see how it would work, and I could see that.
You could see that if you could just get your man to do that, it would work fine.
it would definitely. Yes, it would be very interesting to see how a relationship like that would work. But I definitely get what you're saying, and I think that that's a fascinating view on how men and women work properly together.
Well, you see, what happens is that you go to a counselor now, and what they do is try to improve the negotiation process between getting your needs met. Well, it's give and take. You know, you need to give a little here and take a little there, and what they try to do is be like the trade negotiator for trading needs. All right, now you need to do this and this and this for her, and she'll do that for you. And so our our couple counseling, our marriage counseling, our relationship counselors basically become brokers of need so that everybody will feel like their needs are being met. But that never works. That will always degenerate and come apart. And like I say, it never gets any better than just so-so, you know, just get by. And that's why, because it's not love-based, and it can't get any better than that. And it's not a matter of if you could just get the right formula to everybody, you know, made sure that the other person's needs were met, it still won't get very good because it's need-based. It's a contract.
Okay,
it's
well,
not love-based.
We may have to explore this topic when we come to Love Month in February. this has been a great show. It's been a great year. I wish you all the best, and I hope you all have a happy new year. Thanks, Tom, again.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
You've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Thomas Campbell on Sky Radio.